That's what we're...
Oil executives meet Congress members.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The heads of the big oil companies could be in for a tough morning on Capitol Hill. Marketplace's Brett Neely tells us House members will grill the executives about their safety standards and about the future of U.S. energy policy.
ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, ConocoPhillips, and BP will all share the spotlight at today's hearing. Lisa Marganelli at the New America Foundation says there will be lots of congressional outrage about the industry's profits and lapses.
We tend to deal with problems in the oil industry politically in the United States by these kind of sort of theatrical show trials.
The other oil companies will tout their own safety records to distance themselves from BP, says Kevin Book of Clearview Energy Partners.
They're going to take every opportunity at an individual company level to show how good they are at managing risk and maintaining a safe work environment.
But an oil leak over the weekend at a Chevron pipeline in Utah underscores just how risky the oil business is, says New America's Marganelli.
Being an oil company is basically managing disasters.
The question is whether the oil industry can manage a PR disaster during the hearings. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
This morning, a White House spokesman said the administration is ready to take over the handling of oil spill damage claims from BP if the company won't set up an independent escrow account to do it. The new Toy Story sequel opens this week, and Disney has high hopes for it. In Toy Story 3, Woody and friends get donated to a daycare.
Welcome to Sunnyside, folks. You'll find being donated was the best thing that ever happened to you.
We can have a whole new life here, Woody.
We're Andy's toys.
Not only does Disney bet on its movies, maybe you can too. Federal regulators have passed a provision to test movies future trading. That's futures trading. Joining me live to talk about it is Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Hi, Gregory.
Good morning.
So the Commodity Futures Trading Commission approves this experiment in movie futures. How would it work?
Well, you consider a movie investor puts down millions of dollars two or three years before there's even a movie to see, or there might be no cast or even a script. Now the idea is that investor could hedge their bet by buying a futures contract tied to opening weekend. I spoke to Herbin Bakker at the London School of Economics.
You're betting on how many tickets a film will sell. What makes it problematic is that the box office revenue for film is partly dependent on marketing and marketing campaigns.
So he says, Bill, if we usually think of futures as on pork bellies or jet fuel, the performance of a film is a lot more sensitive to influence, and it could be sabotaged.
Well, people have been investing in tricky films for a long time, Gregory. Why is this coming up now?
Well, films are more expensive, plus it's third-party investors like hedge funds, not the major studios, supplying much of the capital, and they don't want to be stuck with all that risk.
Well, what about this? Remember the movie The Producers, where this theater producer purposely makes a flop to trick investors and steal their money? What is the risk of that?
The commission's put in a provision that a person who works on a film can't buy a futures contract on that film. And the big Hollywood studios say, though, that even with that provision, there's too much risk of insider trading. And they got lawmakers to put in a provision in the new reform legislation, the financial reform legislation, that would ban this whole idea.
Mm-hmm. So the future of futures trading, still uncertain. Gregory Warner, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, what about the stock investors? Stocks are higher in Europe now, despite that credit rating agency Moody's downgrading Greek bonds to the status of junk. Asian stocks were up slightly today. In New York yesterday, the Nasdaq gained a fraction, but the Dow Industrials lost 20 points, closed at 10,190.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
The video game industry continues its quest for world domination today. The Electronic Entertainment Expo, better known as E3, gets underway in Los Angeles. Industry journalist Dan Hsu is founder of the gaming site Bitmob, and he has made the E3 pilgrimage. Dan, welcome to L.A.
Thanks for having me.
Video game sales have been in a real slump lately. What are you seeing at this year's E3 that's going to keep games exciting and profitable?
The big new trend now is motion-controlled gaming. The Wii started this, and now Sony PlayStation's getting into the act, and Microsoft is debuting a lot of their games for what they're calling the Kinect as well.
Right. The Nintendo Wii was a big deal because you could swing your controller and the game would respond like you're swinging a racket. It sucked a lot of people who weren't hardcore gamers into it.
Definitely. Yeah, it brought a new casual audience. You know what? We kind of make fun of it. It's like all the soccer moms are playing video games now, too.
Right.
And so Sony and Microsoft saw how much money Nintendo was making from this, and they want a piece of the pie as well.
And their new stuff goes beyond that capability of swing the controller, right? It's full body.
Yeah, well, Sony's controller is very similar to the Nintendo Wii's controller, and they call it PlayStation Move, only you have maybe two paddles instead of one, and it's high-definition graphics. And Microsoft's Kinect system is all open. You don't have to hold a controller. It's just reading all of your body motions.
Dan, here's what I wonder as a parent. Are video games becoming so compelling, so physically engrossing that our children will never want to do anything else again?
Well, the good news is this big trend of motion-controlled gaming at least will get people off the couch. You're going to actually physically have to move around. So that's a little bit better. But if you look at most kids now, they're all playing video games. It used to be just maybe a young male's hobby. So it's big money. It's only going to get bigger. But that's up to you to make sure your kids actually go outside and do something.
Dan Hsu, founder of the gaming site Bitmob. He's in Los Angeles for the E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
And Dan is blogging about the E3 convention for us. You can read his take at marketplace.org. And finally, bad news for the company that makes Velcro. According to USA Today, soldiers in Afghanistan complained the Velcro on their uniforms was getting clogged with sand and their pockets were falling open. So the Army is replacing Velcro with buttons that are impervious to sand, and they open quietly, and the Army will save 96 cents per uniform. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.